Sing a love song to him. Oh, regere bosanda la gani ala gani le barabale. You are God alone, all by yourself. Ero no bosanda le gere bosanda la yana namoja. Era bana basonte le gara mama. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You are the light of the world, light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that makes, beauty that makes this earth adore you. Oh, Baba life spends with you. You are the light of the world, light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that makes, beauty that makes this earth adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, King of all days, oh so highly glorious in heaven above, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, humbly you came to the earth, you created all for love's sake, became poor. King of all days, King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came, humbly you came to the earth, you created all for love's sake, became poor. Here I am, O Lord, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is.
as he confessed to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship him. Worship him. Oh, worship him. Let's take it again. We bow down and worship him. Let's direct it to him. We bow and worship. We bow down and worship you. We worship you. Oh, we worship you. Jesus the King. Jesus the King of Kings. Jesus the King of Kings. We worship you. Oh, worship you. Oh, we bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship him. Worship him. Oh, oh, worship him. Jesus the King, Jesus the King of Kings, Master of the Universe, Jesus the King of Kings, we worship him, oh, worship him. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Oh, you are mighty on your throne.
You are mighty on your throne. In our lives, you are mighty on your throne. In our midst, you are mighty. In our nation, oh God, you are mighty.
All over the earth,
you are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, O God,
you reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Oh, you reign, you ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, oh God,
you reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty.
Ore basonte rea, renu sare, renu,
neli karamono, sheri kata, yere zondane, ro zondaye, renu, sheri zanabando.
We worship you, Lord. You've been king before the world began. You, Lord, forever.
Truly you reign, Father. You reign, Lord Jesus. You are high and lifted up. Yes, you rule in the midst, O Lord, of your enemies. Thank you, because you reign from heaven above. The heavens are thy throne, the earth is thy footstool. Thank you, because the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Lord God, your throne, O Lord God, Father, the throne of righteousness, O Lord God, the scepter of righteousness, O Lord God, you stretch forth, O Lord God, Father, from before you. Father, we worship you. Thank you for your presence, even in this place. Thank you, Lord God, because indeed the circle of the earth, O Lord God, is your throne, O Lord God. Thank you, because, O Lord God, yet you humble yourself to behold the things in the earth. We humble ourselves before you. We bow before you. Thank you, because your kingdom rules over all. You rule in the affairs of men. Thank you again, because this evening you rule in our affairs through your word. Lord Jesus, you are the living word. You are the King Most High. High and lifted up, the King of glory, the King of Israel, the King upon Zion's holy hill, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We welcome you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to even have you in our presence. For where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. As touching anything request, O Lord God, it shall be done to us. We pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our meeting, in our gathering this evening. Lord God, cause us to be changed from within, transformed. Help us to be, O Lord God, edified, to leave this not the same way we have come in, to live enlightened, empowered, O Lord God, consecrated, O Lord God, sanctified by your word and by your spirit. Thank you, Lord, just for great grace, O Lord God. You are a high priest. You ever live to make intercession for us, saving us through the utmost wonderful Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Most High. Thank you, because, Lord God, you calm the floods. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, because you're in complete control. Thank you, because you are the glory of God that raised up Jesus from the dead. Thank you, because in this place you will work in us mightily to will and to do of your good pleasure. Because it is you that is our work with us, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, O zeal of God Most High. Lord God, truly have your way and take your place. Fill this place with the wisdom of God, with the light of life, with the love of God Most High, with the truth that sets us free. We give you the praise and all the glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you again for the privilege. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. We worship, bless, and honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take our seats in the presence of God. Let's give God a clap offering for his mercies and his faithfulness. Let's give it a clap offering for the Lord. We give God the praise and all the glory for another opportunity to gather on site this evening. We don't take it for granted. It's been online for the past 2 weeks. And thank God for the peace of God during the elections and His word and His ruling of the affairs of men on the earth. Father, we just worship You. Okay, yeah, so we'll go straight into the word. But before we go, I'd like to welcome you again to Zion City Fellowship, the campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, pastored by our wonderful parents, Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give it a clap of praise for the Lord, for our parents. These are wonderful gifts to the body of Christ. You know, and like we always pray for them, they will say the traveling of their souls will be satisfied in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Without wasting much time, I'm going to invite Prof as we go into the word. I want you to listen attentively. Last week, we started a beautiful topic upon the ability of the mind of Christ. And I believe God is taking us deeper this evening. And before we have, I'm trusting that we'll have a time for interaction, but the word is the most important thing. And then we'll see how God helps us from there. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayers. Father, we come to Your presence by the blood. Father, we come to Your presence by the blood of Jesus. We come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah. Under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age. And under You, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. I thank You for the privilege to minister the word at this time. I pray You grant me grace and unction to minister the word of God with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Pray that a clear channel be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, causing the word of God to break yokes, to heal bodies, to meet needs, dissolve doubts in our lives, solve riddles, bring glory to the name of Jesus, and blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the device of the enemy against effectual delivery and receiving of the word. And so in unity, my brethren, under the covering of our fathers, and under the authority and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind-wandering, fear, unbelief, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil. All such contrary foul spirits, we take control over you, we cast you out, we destroy your works to this time, bind you and break your hold over our hearts, body, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning the ministration of the word in the mighty name of Jesus and everything we have to do in this meeting this evening in Jesus' name. Our Father, we thank You because You answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to Your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm sure we are on generator, so I'm sure we don't have that much time. Okay? Because the power shortage across the country is happening of recent. Last week, we spoke about the ability of the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. And in a nutshell, what we said is that there is an end for Christianity. Praise the Lord. There's an end. Now, the end we've been told, we've thank God, you know, in Bible times, Pastor has been looking at that in the last few weeks. There was actually a time in the church that people did not believe in resurrection. And they felt, use your Christianity to live a good life. And once you are dead, that's all. And Paul says, if only, I think that's light. Praise God. Hallelujah. If in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable. But in the church, in Nigeria at least, I've been born again 30 years plus. In the church in Nigeria, we've always believed that one day there will be a rapture. Praise the Lord. Yes, at least the Pentecostal born-again church always believed that. So, we've always seen in our Christianity that there's an end. And that end, most of us have always seen it in the past as the rapture. Amen. But thank God with clarity of revelation, a rapture is not the end. Let me clarify it. That rapture that we always believed on, we saw it as an escape mentality. that, wow, in the church, we are going to, in this world, there is crisis, there is problem, and the devil will constantly attack us. Sin will continue to be a temptation, and don't let us get into this sin and go to hell. So one day, quickly, before we get into sin and before the devil kills us, God will come and carry us away in the rapture. Okay? So the rapture was looked like at as an escape valve. Praise the Lord. But that's not the end God has for the church. It's not. Praise the Lord. Bible puts it like this. It says that to the end, that through the church, God will demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. So that is not an escape mentality. It's a victorious church going out. And that makes, that perception makes a lot of difference. Because it's not just a perception, that is the truth. Because the former one of one day we'll be raptured before the devil kills us or before sin overwhelms us, does not speak of an overcoming church. Amen. And he is coming for an overcoming church. And when you look at the way God does these things, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Praise the Lord. Better is the end. So, what really is the problem between where we are now and where God wants us to be? Very simple things. One is that we are born again. Let's look at mainstream church. Born again. Many of us are filled with the Holy Ghost. We pray in tongues. But there is still residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. And is serving as an insulator to the demonstration of the power of God. So God wants a church well educated and empowered to fight the sin nature, develop the character of God's love, and be a conduit for God's power. Praise the Lord. That's God's focus to the end time. So when he has such a church, then that church will demonstrate to all tribes and tongues the manifold power of God, both in healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and in addition, intellectual, creative abilities, so that they will know that, said, the people will know that you are called of the Lord and they will be afraid of you. So all these promises have been from Old Testament, from Deuteronomy. Like Pastor always tells us many years ago, he said, when you read Deuteronomy 28, what God promised Israel, Israel never fulfilled it. And all the scriptures, not one jot or tittle, will remain without being fulfilled. Amen. Many of them have been designed to be fulfilled by the church. Praise the Lord. So, no rapture quickly. No, for us to escape. We got a job to do. To overcome, to be victorious. Amen. To become armies that invade cities with healing power, great schools, build roads, encourage young people, transform society. That's the church God is still looking forward to. Praise the Lord. And we saw this sample in Jesus Christ. He changed society. Amen. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devil, cleanse the lepers. And he says, and Pastor always says, and I believe it. He says, the work that I do, he shall do, and greater. Amen. You know, one thing I found out of the Bible, just believe it and say, God, help me to do it. Rather than say, can this be possible? Uh-uh. Because when you are talking like that, you stand the risk of Zechariah, where you will not be able to speak, but you just watch it happen. Because God will make it happen. Praise the Lord. But Mary, not that Mary, she just said, be it unto me according to thy word. Praise the Lord. and it was fulfilled in her. So God is raising up a people. He's washing them. Washing of the water by the word. Trying to get out the residual sin nature so that they become conduit for power. Conduit for glory. Intellectual, sound, creative people. Amen. He said they've done all things well. So the church is about building humans. We have always seen the church as a place where they preach the gospel to us. That's the beginning. But it's about building humans to become the kind of people God wants them to be. Praise the Lord. So, you see, that former one is what sometimes piss people off the church. It's just a religious place where they whip up religious sentiment. No. We give spiritual information, but to transform humans to become the kind of persons that God designed them to be. Amen. To be the people God wants them to be. We see it. We gave samples yesterday and the last week. That God, the Bible has not left us without witnesses. We see samples of what you can call superhumans. But there's nothing super there. There's nothing super. They are just a sample of the humans that are empowered by God, anointed and empowered, how they live above the ordinary. Amen. And they were just samples. Later, it won't be samples. It will be an army. Praise the Lord. It will be an army. But God never left us without witness of samples. We saw Samson. Amen. He was anointed. That power is not power that came by Jim. It came by the anointing. Praise the Lord. And we saw divine strength and ability. Against the enemy. Because that day, in those days, it was a physical combat life. And God now raised up, it was the champion of Israel. And again, what was the problem? That sin nature undealt with. Then we saw Joseph. Amen. That was the sample. Joseph was not, it was wisdom. Administrative gifting, leadership. Oh, how we need Josephs in Nigeria. Leadership. Pharaoh says the spirit of God is in him. Pharaoh is an unbeliever, but that's why I say people will say you are called of the Lord and they will be afraid of you. God, Pharaoh said, he said, where can we find a man in which the spirit of God is in? We'll make you the ruler. Only in the throne shall I be greater than you. They were samples. They were not written to as a conclusion. They were samples of the armies. Daniel. The queen mother said, handwriting on the wall. Said, relax. There's a man in your kingdom who in the days of your father, knowledge, understanding, light, wisdom of the holy gods were found in him. Then we'll have an army of Daniels. Then people say, where's your God? The scripture will be full. They are not pie in the sky. So let's know the privilege we have of the time we are in. That God is preparing the people. Praise the Lord. God is preparing people. And I tell my boy, I say, just flow with God's preparation. What God will do, we can only guess. Only God knows. The Bible is clear. It says, eyes have not seen. Ears have not. So you just stay on the preparation mode. We have no idea what God will do. We have no idea. We just know it will be great. Praise the Lord. We just know it will be great. Daniel. Solomon. Say God gave him largeness of heart. I said last week, I said Solomon is a great example because he got that thing not by ability but by the covering of his father. Amen. By the covering of his father. Amen. That's why it's good to be under strong spiritual covering. Praise the Lord. Nobody can excel by just God marking only his report card. Nobody's wealth, not the wealth of a nation, is not the wealth of the people who worked at that time. It's a cumulative of people that have been working. It's standard. So when you have a great, particularly, thank God, I didn't plant young people. Take your life seriously. It's not just for you. It's for your children. Amen. He said they are blessed for their father's sake. It's a standard. Honor your father and your mother. That may be well with you. It's because there is a blessing there. There's a blessing there. Your all the blessings coming to you are never a product of your own abilities. They are generational. Amen. So you just position yourself well. Position yourself well. Spiritually, or the anointing, you cannot pray for the anointing that is coming. Thank God you will pray, but your prayers are not worth the anointing coming. The anointing coming is the Bible says, other men labored, and you walked into their labor. But position yourself well. That's why we should be conscious of the time we are in. God is doing a work. So I will do a work in your days. I will do a work in your days. And people, ears will tingle. And he's begging us to believe it. Amen. The ability of the mind of Christ. So we keep seeing samples. And so we looked. And the height sample we gave last week was Jesus Christ. His own was spiritual power. How God anointed. Before I go to Jesus Christ. You know, Solomon, because of covering, Solomon was positioned to be a very unique example. Spiritual, intellectual, and physical. The armies of Israel were so strong, they didn't even fight. They were strong enough as a deterrent. So there are no wars in Solomon's time. He was strong. You don't even come near them. There was financial. They had to heap copper outside. It was silver. Silver was of no use. And then the guy had anointing. And then he had intellectual power. So he wrote 3,000 proverbs. He wrote about trees. He wrote about birds. Be it conservation, zoology, biology. The temple he built was magnificent. No wonder what the woman wanted to marry him. And then that was not his problem. He had them all. And Bible now, he's positioned. Covering of the Father and the blessing of God. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A greater than Solomon. Intellectual, financial, anointing, covering. What did Solomon do? Solomon was positioned. Solomon was positioned. All the Absalom and co, they just didn't stay in that position. Solomon was positioned. Praise the Lord. Spiritual man. If go and check Solomon in his 20s, 30s. My son, do not despise the instruction of your father and of thy mother. That Bathsheba and David, Solomon listened to them in his childhood. For the commandment is light, and instructions are the ways of life. That's how Solomon was built up. So, ability. God is preparing a people. And it's happening in our time. Praise the Lord. Whether we like it or not, suddenly belongs to us. It's suddenly. Bible says, a quick work will the Lord do, and he will cut it short in righteousness. It's a suddenly. It's a suddenly. the ability of the man. Today, I want to use a subtopic under ability of man and talk diligence and the glory. Diligence and the glory. I looked at the scripture just, I didn't write it down before, just before Pastor Laulu called me up. Psalm 104, verse 22 and 23. Or 22 to 24. The Lord, the sun ariseth. Let's read it. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Those are animals. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Praise the Lord. What has built the earth is working men. Praise the Lord. And the working men are an instrument of God building his glory. Praise the Lord. The earth will not be barren. He said, men go forth early and perform their labor till evening. Amen. That's how we build the skyscrapers. That's how we build the tunnels. That's how we build the roads. That's how we make the world a better place. Amen. That's how you subdue and rule over the earth. Praise the Lord. So that is a sad part the church has not preached. And we always gather people and throw them a bunch of scriptures, and those people never work hard. It's unlike the nature of their God. Amen. 6 days he walked. He says he upholds all things by the word of his power. God keeps on walking, keeps his confessions, and that's what sustains the whole planet. So we've preached a Christianity. No. If you check the old Israel, they were Jacob, Abraham, working people. But we built a church where we confess and command all the money to come. We confess and command the cars to come. We confess and command the houses to be built. We confess and we don't walk. So when they take a sample of lazy bones, they may find many in the church. That's not the nature of our God. It's not the nature of our God. I hear the song. Isekekere Owonla. It's a gospel song. I've listened to it. Hello, who has heard that song? You are Isekekere Owonla. Small walk, big money. And that's why I say, when they take a census of lazy bones, you'll be amazed many are in the church. Not committed, not diligent. Yeah. Not committed, not diligent. You see a man diligent in his ways, he will stand before kings like Joseph. He built, Moses, they built treasured cities. They stored the corn. Was Joseph a preacher? Was he a pastor? But he showed for the glory of God in the land of the living. Diligence. Hard work. Romans 12:11. Somebody says you read. Let's move faster. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. It's possible. It takes waking up a great while before day. Do your prayers. Get into work during the day and keep your confession under you. Keep your praying in the spirit under you.
see the devil operating, you bind him and lose the angels of God and continue walking. Daniel was an administrator. They couldn't find anything in him, but he didn't miss his prayers. 3 times a day, he said, we will go and pray. And yet, he was prime minister. We have witnesses. We have samples. Said, 120 princes, so that the king will not have any shortage. Then there were three. Then of that three, he now made Daniel to be the head over there, that the king will not suffer hurt. Diligence and the glory. Proverbs 22:29. We've quoted that. See a man diligent in his ways, he will stand before kings. We stand before kings, not stand before me, men. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be diligent people, productive people, and not use the gospel as a cop-out for our laziness. That's talisman. Some people leave the gospel, some people use the gospel as a talisman, as a cover-up for their own productiveness. And God is cleaning house. Read your book rather than put anointing oil on the answer script. Or anointing oil on the Bible. Those are the things we have degenerated to. Instead of strength in the inward man, strength in the outward man, and walk and pray. The eye of the Lord goeth to and fro the whole earth, looking for whose heart is perfect before him, sincere. Praise the Lord. You think you deal with a biased God? He's not. Too. He's going to and fro the earth, not the church. He's not going to and fro the church. Going to and fro the earth. Looking for men whose heads are perfect before him. That's how he saw Cornelius. That's how Jesus saw the centurion. Going to and fro the earth. The earth. Church should be more privileged. God is going to and fro the earth. Papa Raph told us, we always forget the scripture, the earth is the Lord's. It's the Lord's. Don't think God hates the earth he created. The earth is his. It's his. He watches over the productivity of that earth. We want to pray 2.5 hours. Very good. Sleep 8 hours. Eat for about 2.5 hours. What if you are not 2.5 hours? So what have you contributed to the earth? What have you contributed to the earth? We got to walk. That's go and check the man, Adam, that he put in the garden. From the beginning, what was the command? It's always been a walking God. It's always been a walking God. So when he looked at the creation, he said, everything was good. Amen. So that all was good. So, how do we start? We start with diligence and a honest heart. That's what God is. Diligence and a honest heart. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. You see, you read, please. And if I read, are you there? Okay. No, we are few. I can hear anybody that. Matthew 5,
I want it to be a bit interactive, so at least let's, yeah. Yeah.
And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Praise the Lord. A man with faith, and yet a centurion. Praise the Lord. A centurion in Rome is a diligent man. Amen. He has a minimum of 100 soldiers under him. That's century. Century is 100, isn't it? Minimum of 100 soldiers under him. And yet, you see that heart open. He was now a very spiritual person. That's the start. Diligent and honest hearted. Amen. And Jesus had to say, no, I have not seen such faith. No, not in Israel. Diligence and honest hearted. We start there. But don't throw diligence above the board and now want to use a cloak of spirituality for why we are not walking. Amen. Yes, I know some people do full-time spiritual work. Go and read how they do full-time spiritual work in Exodus. Those priests that stay in the temple. It's work. It's work. Serious work. Praise the Lord. The centurion was a honest-hearted man. And God's eyes was going to and fro and saw him. Amen. Let's be diligent in what we do. And yet, honest hearted is a good place to start as we make progress. Now, diligence and spirituality. Diligence and spirituality, which is the better height. You are diligent and yet you are spiritual. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. I want a lady to read now. I think the ladies too know how to read Bible. Titus chapter 3, verse 14.
And let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful.
And let ours, that's fellow brethren.
Yes.
Let ours, continue.
Also learn. To maintain.
Good works.
For necessary uses. That they be not unfruitful.
That they be not unfruitful. Let ours also learn to maintain necessary works. Let me see it. Titus chapter 3. Yeah, in short, that's where I'm going. Thank you, Pastor Lalu. You are in the spirit with me. So I'm going to it in Amplified. Our people must learn. Give her the mic. Give her the mic.
Our people must learn to do good deeds.
Yeah.
To meet necessary demands, whatever the occasion may require, so that they will not be unproductive.
So that they will not be unproductive. Very important. I like the way the Amplified put it. Let me read Message. But I think the Amplified is the... Yeah, advice is the goal. Message, our people have to learn to be diligent in their work so that all necessities are met
especially among the needy, and they don't end up with nothing to show for their lives. They don't end up with nothing to show for their lives. The only thing they have to show is that they went to church. They have nothing to show for their lives. Unbelievers should build the roads. Unbelievers should create medicine. Unbelievers should build skyscraper. Unbelievers should build computer. Unbelievers should do the microphone. Unbelievers should do the microwave. Unbelievers should write the books. Unbelievers should act the drama. Unbelievers, then we just go to church. That's why that thing tied up with that mentality that rapture will just escape. Will just escape. Is that accumulation of wrong doctrine that brought to that rapture now became an escape valve instead of a victory celebration. When rapture comes, they will know some people have left. That's how God designed. They will know some people have left. Men of stature. Great men. Victorious. Overcomers. Entrepreneurs. They know they left. That's what the rapture will be. Not that some people just escaped. Full stature. David, diligent man and spiritual. Praise the Lord. People think God who created the earth, who made all things, when they tell God to choose his choice persons, it's lazy people God will go for. I don't know why we believe that. I had a classmate. I've said this story many years ago. We were in 100 level together. We are still, we still do research. We write grants together. We still work together. We are both professors now. We are in 100 level. I was a Christian. I was not born again, nominal Christian. He was a nominal Muslim. So I didn't carry Christianity on my head. He didn't carry Islam on his head. So we just found one common guy. We are very good friends. We just read our books. But there was one thing about this guy. Then I got born again, so we're not close again. We're not close as we were before. We're not enemies, but we're not that. I mean, I have to be in church on Tuesday. I have to be in church on Wednesday. So we're not. But there was one thing about this boy. 99%, if you miss class for one reason, the notes to go for is his notes. Every I dot and every T cross that the teacher said in class, the guy gets it. And with clean handwriting. Very clean. Short. His notes was the choice for photocopy. Why did they go for? It's not just the handwriting. The guy listened throughout the whole lecture. He was attentive to the teacher. Completely attentive. Not a detail will be missed. We now got to final year. And I saw him praying, kneeling. This is not Islam prayer. Giving my life to Christ. I screamed for joy. I bought him his first Bible. But a few weeks later, I went to his room and saw his Bible notes that he took to church. You could see that also he didn't miss any detail that the pastor was preaching. Everything, the scripture, everything I said, all that excellence, God wants it. It doesn't belong to the devil. It does not belong to the devil. It belongs to God. Why do we believe that God doesn't like things like that? God likes good things. In case you don't know. The same diligence. Still with him till today. When he was 50, I told that story to his children. To your father, I was a diligent man. And really, he stands before kings today. And he's still pursuing. He's still pursuing. He's 55, 56 now. He's still pursuing. David, Psalm 78, 70 to 72. Psalm 78, 70 to 72. Anybody there? I'll give you the mic to read it. Psalm 78. Give her the mic.
He chose David also, his servant.
He chose David also, his servant.
And took him from the sheepfold.
And took him from the sheepfold.
From following the ewes great with young.
For following the ewes, that's female sheep, great with young.
He brought him to feed Jacob, his people.
He brought him to feed Jacob, his people. Praise the Lord.
And Israel is inheritance.
And Israel is inheritance.
So he fed them according to the integrity of his
heart.
He
fed them according to the integrity of his heart.
And guided them by the skillfulness.
And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Skill. Was a shepherd boy. But diligent. Fought the lion. Fought the bear. Loved God. Worship God, wrote psalms, sang to God, but diligent in his work. And God watched him from following the pregnant sheep, great with child. God took him from there to go and lead his people Israel. And he did it with the integrity of his heart and with the skillfulness of his hands. That's the beauty of spirituality and secular diligence. Because if you follow those two parts together, what happens at the end is that the spirituality will power the secularity and bring it to excellence. You think God doesn't like good? It's not just because it's David. No. Who was he? When they called for him, when the father mentioned the children, they said they didn't even know he existed. But God saw that integrity of heart and skillfulness of hand. So he brought him to come and rule his people. Who say God doesn't like good things? He ruled them with the skillfulness of his hands. Praise the Lord. Diligent. Diligent. It is that spirituality that will power the secularity. I know, and if you look at that scripture, I've said it here before. If you look at it on a higher spiritual plane, what was David they say was following sheep. Sheep is an example of someone that is humble and great with young. That's fruit of the Spirit. Paul, Baba Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 34. Let's look at his spirituality. I thank my God. I pray in tongues more than you all. Praise the Lord. In fastings often, in shipwreck, in hunger. From false brethren. From pressures without. From pressures within. Spiritual man. Man of prayer. Acts chapter 20 verse 34.
You yourselves know personally that these ends minister to my own needs. Let me read the King James. I'm reading. Okay. Yea, ye yourself know that these ends have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, and how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Praise the Lord. Paul told them, said, you to know that these hands have labored and ministered to the needs of those who are with me. Praise the Lord. There is better to give than to receive. That was Paul. Amen. That's why I first gave a spiritual resume to also see his diligence in secular work. Praise the Lord. I'm rounding up. Spirituality is the feeder in this work we are going. I'm not preaching that you should be diligent, work hard, and neglect God. No. It can't work. That was the end of Solomon. Well, you have both at the beginning. And then later, you downsize the spirituality. It brought him down. Bible talked about Uzziah. Say he became strong. He was until he became very great. He made cannons and got cunning men to make special machines. And when he had become great, he became lifted up. And then went down the spiritual part, and then that was the end. The spirituality is the feeder. It powers the secularity. Powers the secularity. Praise the Lord. I was teaching students in Abuja some years ago when I was a visiting professor there. When I finished, any question, one guy raised up his hand, I said, sir, I have a question. How do you do it? You are a prof. You are a researcher. You are a pastor. You are a family man. And everything seems to be working. I said, thank you very much. It's the grace of God. But you know, sometimes you really need to tell people the truth. And I told him, I said, 4 a.m. I was up. I did my prayers. The night before, I spent 2 hours looking through the notes that I was going to teach you and gathering pictures that will make me explain, because I felt I owed you people a good explanation. 4 a.m. I was up. I prayed till about 6, spent another 1 hour to go through my slides. And then the driver was waiting for him to pick me because I didn't want to be late. 1 hour every month I dedicate it and pray for my research work, pray for ideas, pray for innovation, pray for creativity, and pray for all the students under me. I've been doing that for 15, 20 years. And there's no letting. So a journal came to interview me, Brain Science Journal. Asked me, what are your secrets? What do you? I said, well, by the grace of God, there's always something ahead of me. So I don't relax and just throw in the towel. There's always something. There's always something ahead. There's always something ahead. Landmarks. Praise the Lord. The spirituality powers the secularity. I think I should end by talking about Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Spirituality powering secularity. They built up Scripture Pastoral Christian Center. Some of us were here in 1996-97. Pastor started preaching perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the devil fought this church. Except you are spiritually really low, you could see that the devil was fighting this church. But Pastor stayed with the message. It was attacked within and without. He stuck to the message. He said, if the message is of God, then he can do nothing else but to preach it. And with time, the church became smaller. Smaller. People were leaving. Like he said, a friend told him, he said, Pastor Luby, let me just advise you. All this your prophetic. Just preach simple gospel. Bless the people. And let them be blessed. And we all go to heaven. Is it no more than that? He stuck to the message. And the church became smaller. And smaller. But stronger. And yet, when it now became small and strong,
They started building up back again. Building up back again on the strong principle. And we give all glory to God and speak with all humility. He has established a church that has resonance and respect in heaven. A praying church. A church filled with revelation knowledge. And a prosperous church. With strong men. Then Pastor and Mommy started this, and Mom, they started a school. When 30 years? It's over 30 years. Yeah, about 35 years. First, with a crèche. From crèche to primary. From primary, they started the Lifeward High. Last year, we went to Lagos for prizes on Cambridge. Best results in the country, best results in the world. Lifeward was a routine name. They were just calling the students of Lifeward. The students of life forth. Mommy never struggles for rating. They will say this school, 2 years ago when they put results together, I said, life forth is number one in Nigeria. And yet the same people man a praying church. Church with loaded revelation only by the grace of God. Spirituality powers the secularity. It is possible. What did the scripture say? That you might walk worthy of God unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. We see it in them. And like Pastor says, we are not done yet. We are not by a chin chin. I don't retire, I refire. Old timers will say, hey, this man is still preaching. Ah, he has just started. His next landmark birthday is 70. And yet he's doing research. He's doing physics, electromagnetic. He's investing in artificial intelligence. And I say, prof. It's always fun to be named. It's both spiritual and intellectual that we always engage in. Amen. But is it really about Pastor Mommy? There are examples unto us, unto whom the end of the world has come. That really is where I'm going. There are examples unto us. One deception, I think I'm going to end with that, Pastor Lowe. One deception that the devil has passed us through is get a good job, get a good wife, have a comfortable home, and be content. Everybody, now people walk, not that they are lazy, but the goal, they go to church, they try their best in church, marry a nice wife, have good children, afford to have your own house and your car, and then you can stay simple. No. It's bigger than that. Praise the Lord. We'll show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's a gospel to be preached, both by scripture and by lifestyle. There's a gospel to be preached. There's power to be demonstrated. There's deliverance needed for a lost world. So start to think out of the box from this limitation, me, I, and us kind of no. Praise the Lord. It's about the people. Amen. Really, it's about the whole world. It starts from a people. How Jesus Christ of Nazareth went about doing good. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And He went about doing good. Healing all those that were oppressed. God is positioning us. Praise the Lord. There is a glory ahead. But we want to shake off this mentality that the church, doesn't succumb to diligence, best practices. No. We're going to be examples. We're going to be examples in science, in literature, in drama, in arts, in artificial intelligence, in computing, in robotics, in music, in engineering. We will fill all categories. The earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. I said in the last 20% of Nobel Prize winners are Jews. Jews is 0.2% of world population. But 20%, I gave you a sample of individuals. That's a sample of a people. But the last sample is coming, the end time Christian church. That's the last sample God is using to hit the earth. Let's buckle up. Let's change our mentality. Let's change our mentality and let dissatisfaction start to well inside of you. That what have I done? Amen. It's a bad human nature. It happens to everybody. And if you are honest, after God will show you a landmark, then you change. You know, you just get a little thing and feel, me too have tried. Me too have tried. Amen. And then last one, I'll use an example. One man prayed for 2 days, stayed in his room, was waiting on the Lord. He didn't leave his room for 2 days. It was not prayer throughout. He just set out a goal that 2 days he wants to seek God. So when he finished the 2 days, he was so happy. So he carried a book and read about a man that was on a mountain with the Lord for 7 days. Or was it 20? Then he closed it and became sober. The lesson was like, when you think you have done something and you think that that's the height, is God will show you a picture in the front. And if you are honest, at it, you now say, you just keep quiet. And they say, God have mercy. It's not about competition. It's to be the person God created you to be. And there's enough work to be done in that. Praise the Lord. Pastor Lalu.
God. Praise the Lord. I believe you've truly been fired up. I just have a few points here. I believe God wants to use to encourage us. And I want to believe you also have points and questions. Because you see, this thing is a stronghold. And like Prof was, he mentioned it. And as he was talking, I had written it down that we actually need a renewal of our minds. You know, we've been lied to. And there has been a series of doctrine. I mean, it's that's why I said it has built, it's cumulative. And we've just felt that it's okay that God is just all spiritual. And God is not religious. God is spirit, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. I want to share this scripture with you. And it came to me when I started working, you know, at the Innovation Hub. And it has been something that God has used to encourage me, and I pray it. And so I want you to see Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. But I want you to see it in the Amplified. You know, there are two Amplifieds. There's the Amplified Classic, and then there's the other Amplified. So I'm going to read in both of them. Hebrews 1, verses 3 and 4. And this points to the fact that peradventure you still have that stronghold, because it can be innate in all of us by reason of what we have heard, by reason of what we have seen. And it has built up in our minds, and we felt that, okay, it's okay. But I want you to see something, because the only way you can destroy these strongholds and pull down these strongholds, cast down these imaginations and high things that exalt self against the knowledge of God, that really I just need to be spiritual, God is not interested in the secular, is by using the word of God to destroy it. Are we together? The only thing that can seek to neutralize the word of God is the traditions of men. And so in Hebrews 1 verses 3, and something like Prof was saying, which really resonated with me and made me to bring this scripture up, is that the natural is meant to be powered by the spiritual. Peradventure, you are afraid to go into the natural. If you are going, knowing the scripture balances the fact that even God, he's spiritual, but he's interested in his natural. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Hebrews 1, 3 to 4, Amplified, says, the sun is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being, the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and what? Upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal. Are we together? That's one Amplified. I'm going to read the second Amplified. That's Amplified Lockman Foundation. Then there's Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outreach of or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, when he had by offering himself accomplished so and so. The point I'm trying to make is, Prof was talking about the natural. You can power your natural, and you should power your natural by your spiritual. Paul talking about, I pray, I speak in tongues more than you all. And then you now come to the part where he says that these hands have labored. Paul was a tent maker. So they will not say he's using the money of the people. Says these hands have labored. And guess what? These hands, by the laboring, has ministered unto you. Says, let our own also learn to maintain good works. See, there's a question I want to ask you. Peradventure, this will wake you up. You know, you might be hearing this scripture, but we have been so laid back as Christians and as the church. What if I told you, no, I'm not saying it. I'm just trying to seek what is going to wake us up. What if I told you, and Prof mentioned tangentially, just in another way, that the people that will be raptured are the people that have used their brain? Just a question. Did you hear what I said? Maybe you didn't get what I said. What if I told you? See, these are the kind of things that God is going to use to destroy strongholds in his church. And I'll show you that, like Prof mentioned, a sample is going to be a repetition of what God is going to do, even in the rapture. What if I told you that the people that God is looking for and that God is going to rapture are people of essence? You might be wondering, so I'm born again. Well, let me take you back in history. When the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says that some saints rose up with him. Not all saints. But I thought they were saints. So what was the hallmark? Of course, we can start guessing the people that rose up with him. I believe it's in Matthew. We just finished in Bible reading. That's why people like Joseph will tell you that, don't leave me in Egypt. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. So we can take a sample again. I mean, we're all in college, all in university, polytechnic. We have an idea of samples. So if it's someone like Joseph, if someone like Joseph said, don't leave my body in Egypt. So we have an idea of the kind of people that God by his spirit revealed to, that you must not stay in Egypt. So when I'm coming, you must be at that place called there, so that you will be raised up with me. So he had a revelation. And so we can say that someone like Joseph was raised up. So let's use Joseph as a standard. That means that there were some people that were not raised up. So all you need to do is do your own homework by yourself. I'll not do it for you. Joseph being an example and a sample of the person that was raised up when Christ was raised up. Because the Bible talks about Christ and the first fruits. Christ the first fruits were raised up. So you see, that kind of thing wakes you up. You don't say, oh no, you know, it's all of us are born again. We're going to, let's just stay rapturable. You'll be deceived and amazed. It says that two brothers will be together. One will be taken, one will be left. So you see, the point we're trying to make is, like Prof was saying, the people that God is looking for the best. Even in his church, because he wants to show forth his glory. You might say that God uses the base things. Yes, God uses the base things. Doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that he uses failure. It doesn't mean that he delights in failure. Love never fails, though. So we need a renewal of mindsets. We need to renew our mind. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 12, that we need to renew our minds. And so that we begin to see things the way God sees things. Strong men will retain riches, not weak men. Spiritually strong, mentally strong, will retain riches. And he said that we're encouraging ourselves, irrespective of the level we are, in our studies, in our academics, mentally. So that's why you now use the power of the Holy Spirit to sharpen that part. Like Prof prays about his research. And God opens doors. He's been doing it for 15, 20 years. He sees the results. If the prayer wasn't working, he would have stopped praying now. But at the same time, as he's praying, he's also working. Praying as if he's not working, working as if he's not praying. But he also recognizes that what's inspiring the work, the physical work and the secular aspect, is the prayer aspect. That's why I showed you that scripture in Hebrews 1. He propels the spiritual and the physical universe by the word of his power. So as he's propelling in the spiritual by the word of his power, he's also working in the universe, the physical universe. He didn't just leave the physical universe for the things to just be working. So put yourself in that. That's why we kept talking about. He said, I want to become more like Jesus. He keeps you on the narrow path. He keeps you on the safe path of, yes, staying that rapturable, but also being useful on the earth. So you're not just one heavenly-minded person without no earthly use. Are we together? And so God wants to show forth his glory to principalities and powers on the earth. He's not going to do it in heaven, no. He's going to do it here on earth, here, now, and then. And so I want you to also know that whatever you are doing is in the Bible. You know, this pastor, I didn't even know Prof was going to teach. I was just sharing with my wife. I said, you know the word machine is in the Bible. Of course, we knew that. But the whole world is talking about machine learning, machine learning, machine learning. But this ancient book has always had the keyword machine. And if you look at every other career, anything that is coming has always been that thing. It has always been there one way or the other. See, there's going to be a time when people will start boasting of ancient books. The Bible will not be left behind. The Bible is the ancient of days, the book of the ancient of days. It contains everything. He knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. I'm the era of technology and IT and computing. I see it all written there. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all there. Your field is there. God knows everything. He has the knowledge of your field. So don't feel estranged that, is there any hope for me? You know, is it possible? That's why when Prof was talking about the example, the word that kept coming out of my mouth is, it is possible. It is possible. God is looking for all-rounders. God is making all-rounders. Let's put it like that. God is making all-rounders. He's building all-rounders. We need to align with him. We need to agree with him. Do you understand? For him to make us that person that he wants us to be. We have not aligned with him and agreed with him. Many times we have resisted this kind of teaching, either consciously, unconsciously, passively, or actively. There are some places you can't preach this kind of thing. Hey, okay, you're going to the intellectual realm. We're not going to the intellectual realm. I've showed you the scripture. God is spirit. He propels, he powers, he guides all things, spiritual and physical universe, by the word of his power. Let our own also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs. These hands have worked. Peradventure, you're saying those ones are humans. That's why he took you back to the creator himself. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. And so all he's looking for right now is for us to be in agreement. We first believe it, that God wants it to be an all-rounder. God wants him to be an expression of his image, to show forth his glory as I am, spiritually and naturally, spiritual and body. What if the person that God was coming for in the rapture was a person that is showing forth his glory spiritually, mentally, and physically? What if he wasn't just a person that says he's born again and is going to church? What if? I'm just throwing that to you. And it's worth thinking about. Because Christ, the first fruits, it wasn't all the saints that were raised up with him. You know, there was an earthquake that day when he rose up. And so the Bible tells us that some of the saints, he didn't say all the saints, some of the saints rose up with him. And then we can backtrack and know that it was standard people like Joseph, standards like Joseph that were raised up with him. I don't know any other person. Like him, God told him, don't stay in Egypt. Let them bury you in Jerusalem. And when they were leaving Egypt, they carried his bones. So if we use them as a sample, as an intelligent sample, we know that it's people like him that were raised from the dead. Spiritually, useful, physically, mentally, and intellectually, and naturally useful. They showed forth, they solved problems. They were leaders, spiritually and physically. So that should wake us up. You know, I just want to encourage us. You know, and the thing is, look, you might not be where you want to be. I'm certainly not where I desire to be. I know there's somewhere I'm supposed to be. But what God wants first, like Prof was saying, and that's how he started. He said that Zechariah said, how can these things be? You might be wondering, looking at your situation, you don't know what I'm going through. It's difficult. The course I'm doing is difficult. Another person will say, be it unto me, it is possible. With God, all things are possible. Those scriptures will begin to encourage you. Mary, that's what she said. You know, it's not as if she didn't ask questions. But God wants people that will be in agreement. First be in agreement first. Do you understand? First be in agreement. First be in agreement that it is possible. God, you can do this thing. God, I'm in agreement. Spiritually and physically, I want to be useful to you. You know? And then, I'll begin to take my own part to do what I need to do. The examples he has given us. And guess what? You have a quantum leap. God begins to reveal things to you. You know, you begin to gather mental energy, spiritual energy, physical energy, resources that you need. You know, the favor. Prophet's example, the favor. He tells me he goes for these conferences and he meets somebody after he has done his presentation and they're interested in him. It's from one glory to the other. We're seeing these things. They work. It is possible. You see it in the life of Pastor Mon by his mercy and grace, contemporary people. You know, so you yourself, shrug off that dust. You know, the Bible says that in Isaiah 60, says, if you can help, Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 61, where it talks about Zion, arise, and cast, 52, where it talks about putting off the dust. See, dust is carnality and awake, yes. Give it to me, let me read it. Thank you. We might be here mentally. It says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, O Zion city. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Then we might have some dust in our minds, you know. We might not have dusted our books. We might have some dust thinking, dust mentality, dust ideas. So God is saying, shake yourself from the dust. You are still his own. You are still Zion. You are still Jerusalem. Arise and sit down. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You know? And so, I don't know. But I just want to use this to encourage you. You know? Let's begin. Many of you are going to be startup creators. You are innovators. Whether you like to, you are creators. You are leaders. You know? You are solution providers. You know, you're billionaires. Yes, I agree. That's who you are. That's who has created you onto good works. You understand? That's it, whether you like it or not. It's your DNA. It's not up to you to agree, to believe it, to live up to it. Zechariah did not agree. God shut his mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people that did not agree that it was their life initially. Gideon did not want to agree. You know, Moses did not want to agree. He said, I'm a stutterer. But see that Moses, though. A mighty in works and deeds. The guy created tabernacle. You know, by his mercy and grace, just agree. You know, and begin to dust yourself. Remove unbelief. You know, remove any disagreements with the word. Remove laziness. You know, it might take time because we might have been used to a low-level, comfortable, mediocre life. And so it is a whole new paradigm. And you have to start standing up. But stand up. You know? The man at the gates called Beautiful. They said, gold and silver we do not have. But arise in the name of Jesus. The guy didn't just be looking at them. The guy began to, you know, stand up. And guess what? His ankle received strength. Are we together? The four lepers, I'm deliberately giving you these examples. The four lepers said, are we going to continue here? If we continue, we're going to die. They made their move. And guess what? By the time they got there, they had everything. And they were the ones that now shared it to the whole nation. You know, so faith, let faith arise. You know, let faith spring up that, I'm a child of God, though. I'm a creator. You know, the enemy might want to beat you down again. You say, no, I'm a creator. The enemy might want to remind you of maybe past failures. You say, no, I'm a creator. You know, you begin, you shut him up. You begin to arise and get the word of God to renew your mind. Ah, I need to walk. Oh. It is possible. There are people that are doing it. It is possible. You understand what I'm saying? Greater is he that is in me. God propels the universe by the word of his mouth. He's still working. The universe is working well. You know, natural. God wants me to be natural. He wants me to be naturally successful and spiritually successful. He wants me to be supernaturally natural. He wants me to be supernatural. Super of the spiritual and natural of the natural. Are we together? All right, so first, dust your mind from that idea that, I just be spiritual, and go to church and be born again. That's it. No. That spiritual begins to affect your mental thinking. Your thinking, your thoughts. Begin to pray about ideas. I said last week, I said, if you need to start praying about your brain, pray about your brain. You understand? Just like you pray for your health and pray about your finances. If that is the part that there's a challenge about your thinking, start praying about your thinking. You see that the enemy will withdraw. Hitherto has capitalized on some things subtly and passively. But you need to start fighting. You say, this guy is waking up. Oh. He's waking up. Oh. And you start to see that you light will begin to shine in that area of your life. You yourself, you will see, you feel different from inside. You know? So I just want to assure, I want to encourage you. You know, I don't know whether we still do have a few minutes to ask questions. But it's really burning in me, you know, to share this. And I think Prof actually mentioned, I'm just saying the same thing that he has said in a different way, you know, for us to be encouraged and for us to know, you know, that it is possible. So I'll just listen out for questions and comments, wherever we're having challenges, you know, so we can just quickly share. And while we're waiting for that, you see, I just wrote this down also, that values have been eroded. The prophet was mentioning a song. I quickly Googled it. Is this song true? It is true. You know, so I can imagine the lyrics of the song. That, Owonla, Ishakekere Owonla, is there. I saw it on YouTube right now. You know, so it tells me that values have been eroded. And again, that's a subtle thing that is the traditions of men that are making the word of God of no effect. Like people don't want to come to church or listen to this kind of word. You know, if you can bypass and have shortcuts and make money fast, why go through all this hard work, you know. So values have been eroded and you have to fight against that in your mind. Because it has been subtly sowed by the things that you see on the screen, by the things that you hear, by the politicians, you know, or by people that have made money without working. You know, you might not be a part of it, but you have seen it and it has been subtly sowed. And you are querying, you might not say it with your mouth, but you are querying by your actions, by not working hard. And you are wondering, if I work hard, will I even be as... You are comparing yourself with other people that have not worked hard and seem to have resources and financial, you know. So values have been eroded and we have to get our values back. And like I said, what if they told you that the people that will be raptured are the people that are spiritually and naturally showing forth the glory of God, not just people that are born again? Would it wake you up to begin to dust your books and to propel your natural life by the power of the Holy Spirit? And remember, strong men retain riches. Renew your mind. And remember, like Prof said, Solomon was blessed for his father's sake. You might not have gone to the best school or to the what do they call those schools in America? Ivy League schools. You know, you might not just have been in quiet Nigeria. But you have a heart for wisdom. You are meek. You have the character. You have the humility, the obedience. You have the passion for change. You have the passion to solve problems. You might not have the knowledge and the skill of the guy in Harvard or in Yale, but there's just our hearts. The Bible says that his eyes run to and fro the whole earth. That's why you see people in the earth that they might not be Christians, they are doing well. God is looking, is their heart is looking at. See what? The moment you ask for wisdom, he gives that wisdom, he's going to bombard you with wisdom. Solomon was blessed for his father's sake. Okay, so just a few minutes of sharing and comments before we round up. comments, questions? It's amazing how we get silent when it's time for comments and questions and interaction. Okay, I'm going to just ask randomly. Your thoughts? Give us your name and your thoughts about today's message.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jumoke. Okay, so my thought about today's message is just, I'm going to really capitalize on the diligence that Daddy talked about. And I discovered that in my generation, I feel like most of us, we leave what we are supposed to do to God. Like we say, of course, God has his own path, and we have our own responsibility. But most times, I feel like people in my generation, we just drop everything on God. If God wants me to pray by 2 a.m., he will wake me up. If God wants me to read my Bible, he will instruct me. If God wants me to go there, God will let me know. I feel like we just drop everything, our thinking ability, our meditation. We just feel like God should be responsible for it. If God wants me to prosper, God will make it happen. So today, I feel like I actually see the place of partnering with what God we have us do. Thank you very much, sir.
That's the truth. Partnering with God. You know, God has his responsibility and he has provided the resources. But now you take the resources and you have your responsibilities, you know, and activities. Thank you so much. God bless you. Yes, intelligently cooperating with God. You know, once you have that heart, even at the point if you don't know what to do, if you ask God for wisdom, you know, just their hearts know that, I being in the way. I'm doing what I need. I'm ready to do what I need to do. You know, God will lead you. And you know that you have that responsibility and activities that you have to do as well. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Praise God. So I just want to ask a question. I'm Sam Ayomide. Let's assume someone has gone far in a particular field and probably the interest is gone and he has interest in something else, and it feels like that new aspect is what he's meant to do. What can that kind of person do? Is it that the person just have to focus on what he has started earlier or what he felt, what he should do now, he should put more strength into? So that's the question.
Praise the Lord. Important thing is it of God? Praise the Lord. That's what we judge with inner peace and co. Moses was 40 years gone into architectural building. And then God just took him out and put another 40 years into shepherding and following sheep. And then put him another 40 years into leadership and administration. But each one was of God. Each one was of God. And that's why I talk about David. From following sheep, pregnant with you, God took him and made him a ruler. Let's remember that scripture. It says God that puts up one and puts down another. So God can put up a profession for you and put down one. But let it be God. Because your capacity is really God that knows it. That's why I told Moses, he said, I can't speak. He said, who made a man to speak? So God knows your capacity. Praise the Lord. God knows your capacity. Education and God, they are tools. They are tools. They are not who you are. They are just tools. Praise the Lord. I always tell my students, reading and passing is diligence. Gift, you brought it from heaven. Don't throw away your gift because you want to read and pass. It's good to read and pass. But if you notice that you have a gift, find a way to always exercise it.
Because one day, it's God that put it there. God will put it to use. Praise the Lord. So, important thing is, if it's of God, it will show. It will show. God shut down architecture for Moses and put it into shepherding. I don't know whether you think that's demeaning for an architect. But that's what God did. Praise the Lord. You can say it's demeaning for an architect. That's the way God puts him. Oh, I saw an architect just now. So you can say it's demeaning for an architect. And then God took him from there and brought him to be an administrator and a leader. So the important thing is, we said something about cumulative. It's many things that God is building. He's building. One day, he's going to be that all this put together. It was supposed to do this. But it's important that we're just not going on our own. Okay? So don't quickly put a full stop on the writing of your life. That I am only this, full stop. No. No. Don't put a full stop easily. When God is still writing, why put a full stop? The chapter has not been concluded. I sent something to Zion City Fellowship about my mother-in-law sent it to me about a man who went to preach in Africa. A missionary. Realized he went to preach in Africa. And then he was coming home on a ship. And when he came out, he saw crowd clapping. Ah, so he told his wife, he said, these people really appreciate all what we went to do in Africa. Unknown to him, the president of the U.S. was on that ship. So all that crowd was for the president of U.S. who just went to give a speech somewhere in France and he was coming back. So he said he almost went into depression. He said, we want to work 20 years in the dungeon. So when the president came out, all the crowd, when him and his wife came out, they just looked for a transport to take them home. Nobody, not even the church that sent them, came. So he said, he almost went into depression. So his wife now told him. He said, no, I've tried to shrug it off, but this thing gets to me. The wife said, then go and, you're a man of prayer, go and talk to God about it. So he said, God, this man came home. See the way the crowd and everything came to welcome him. We have been in Africa for 20 years. And he said, God now told him, but you are not home yet. That sheep and God, that's not home for you. So you are not home yet. So don't worry. Don't relax about your welcome. You are not home yet. You are not home yet. Just calm down. So, don't let's put a full stop where God is still writing. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that question. A thought came to me while Daddy was speaking. And it's that, I know many of us will be familiar with it. You know, we have our secular education and career path, whatever you're studying in school. Then many of us have what we call side hustle. You learn a trade and things, or maybe you have an interest. It could be tech, it could be anything. So in the Nigeria, we find ourselves, not everybody at all. I can say, I've not done a survey, but let me just say about 80%, if not more, of the populace don't end up practicing what they studied in school. So, I think the thought that came to me was, I don't know the details of what that thing is, but if there's an educational path you started, don't put a full stop, like Daddy said. Because one thing I've come to know is, you may not practice, but that thing's a very solid foundation. Look at Moses, the example Prof gave. He was an architect. Who else do you think God could have given the... Reading Exodus recently, as I was looking at the intricate details of the architectural plan, I'm like, wow. And then it takes a trained mind. So you may study a Greek five solid years. Maybe in 300 level, you're already feeling like, I have interest in tech. Should I just leave this thing? Don't leave it. You never can tell. Your mind may not be able to grasp it. There are some dreams that I have, and I know that they are God-inspired, but I don't understand how it will... And some skills and competencies. I don't know how it will come to play. But I know there's this other career path. But you never can tell. God has a way. Who could have known that God can bring together architecturing and shepherding? you can never capture, but you can see that Moses was able to apply that aspect to the building of the tabernacle and everything, and of course leading the people. It takes, I think there were about 3 million or more, 6 million Israelites. Just try and picture it. Human resources is one of the hardest resources to manage. But he had experience of shepherd, of leading sheep. Sheep that, of course, sheep are meek, but they are still sheep. They can be very scattered, but with their animals, he was able to, you know, control them for 40 years. So I just want you to encourage us. I don't know who it is for. You may have two different parts. There's this course I'm studying, but there's this other, should I call it an entrepreneurial interest? Just keep. There's a scripture the Holy Spirit gave. There's an illustration. They said, Dothan, there are two wells there. So don't say, I can't even marry the. Sometimes I don't know for you, but for me, sometimes you can't even marry the two. You can't even imagine how the two will come to play. But just keep on, be diligent in everything. When you have the opportunity, learn skills. You never can tell how God will marry. And of course, with the foundation of prayer and everything, God will bring the dream to pass. Amen.
That's the ending. With the foundation of prayer, God will bring everything to pass. Praise the Lord. Steniola, the architect, shepherding young ladies. Pastor Lalu said, me, I know she can shepherd. Me shepherding him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can see Winifred. I'm so happy. Praise the Lord. But I just want to put a practical spin to what I first said. When I entered school for veterinary medicine, I was a kid. And vet medicine was overwhelming for my small brain, for my young nature. And it was tough. But on getting to the university, they advertised for people to come and join the debating club. I used to do that from primary school. So I joined the debating club. And I think first time it was press club. They advertised for people to join press club. So I joined press club. And in the very first meeting, 100 level, they were choosing the leaders for the editorial board. In my application, interest, I wrote sports. And I think we were just few, so I was made sports editor. 100 level. And I took it as a challenge. So I used to have a featured article once a week on the press board in the hall. And it grew. People used to come from other halls to come and read it. Once a week, comes out. Then I joined debating. Debate for my block in the intra hall. Debate for my hall, inter hall. Debate for my class and everything. And it wasn't easy because vet medicine was mean. But I knew debate and writing were skills and giftings that I had. So in the midst of how tough it was, I didn't give up. Definitely when it's 3-4 weeks to exam, I shut down everything, face the exams, and go pass. And now, what really is my life today in secular work? I write papers. I teach. The debates and the writing, they all now matter. Yeah, I did the vet, but I mean now today, how many contact hours do I do touching with the animal anymore? I just organize and tell the doctors do this. I write. I go to class. I teach. So, I'm just watching what I am fair. And really, what are you promoted for how you write? And what do you change life for how you teach? So, who puts speech and writing there is God. Maybe the more I wrote, I got better, but the initial skill is from heaven. The talking to the crowd came from heaven. And so, let's stay where God puts us.
God knows that future. Praise the Lord. And there's no food stuff for me yet. So we really don't even know where we are, where we are going. Let's just continue on the path. Was I first saying something? Okay. Yeah.
Before you pray for us, before Prof prays for us, while he asked the question, there's this thing that came, this word that came to my mind. They do it in the natural in business. They call it pivoting. You know, so you must stay flexible and malleable in the hand of God. You know, don't be rigid that you can never be. I'm made for this thing and I'm made for this thing. No other place. Full stop. Do you understand? You have to stay because you're growing. I say it happens with the body of Christ, like Pastor has taught us, that you can be at the feet today. Next week you can be at the as you grow, you are moving. A living organism. You know, so you are moving, and that's how you have to see yourself. Now, I'm not saying, well, in the kingdom, jack of all trades can be master of all, you know, understand? But at the same time, we're not saying that you're just jumping from city to post, you know, not knowing what you're doing. And again, whenever peradventure, like Prophet said, it's in the spirit of promotion, you carry along with you the spirit of what you learned from that place, the discipline, the diligence. You know, you carry it into the next phase. The mistakes, you learn it from that place, and then you have a correction in the next place. Do you understand? So first, it's not so much about what I was doing, what I'm doing. It's now about how malleable am I? What am I carrying from that place into the next place? Am I still disciplined? Am I still diligent? Or am I too depressed to even look into the future and keep looking forward? Am I always looking back? Are we together? Then don't be rigid. Know that you can pivot. And I mean, those are beautiful examples from engineering and architecture into shepherding, you know. And while he was in, from shepherding into leadership, and while he was now in leadership, the skill of architecture and engineering is now merged with shepherding of people. You know, so it's the same thing as David. The skill, you know, of shepherding, and then the tenderness and compassion that he had with an ewe that is pregnant. He knows how to handle people, and that was good for leadership, because if you're not compassionate and tender with people, you will destroy people. You will cause a cash crunch. You didn't get that joke. Anyway, don't worry about that. You want to do policies, but you not think so about the people. The low-level market woman. It's all about the people, though. You know, my wife, by His mercy and grace, has a startup. She has this design outfit, and it's called Any Design. Her name is Eniola, but in design, there is the word Any. Any. Enyo. People. So she found out that design is people-centric. It's not just about, fine, let me just design something that is fine. No. Go to UI and all those old buildings. They are people-centric. It's about the people. Town planning is about the people. It's not just about having the finest city or the tallest building. If it's the tallest and people cannot get there, what's the point? You understand? If it's not sustainable, if it's not environmentally friendly, if it's destroying the people, it's all about the people. God is all about people. It's for His creation. You understand what I'm saying? So, really, the end goal is not so about me. It's more about the creation. And am I carrying the character of Christ, the learning, the wisdom of God, the experience with God from one place to another? Am I malleable in God's hands, knowing that it is God? Do you understand? And then knowing that you can pivot. Or is it pivot? You know, you can, God is, that's how God is, and you are growing. You understand what I'm saying? And like you said, it's not a full stop for you. Keep increasing. You know that you're learning, and what you're learning is from glory to glory, from victory to victory, from faith to faith. You understand? Yeah. Prof, I think you can pray with us.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go.
in the quiet pasture, or by a gentle stream. The shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain, or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my guide.
Can we talk to God with a heart of surrender? A heart surrender to God. He's the shepherd of your soul. Give him full control. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me, I want to do your will. Is there a determination that you want the will of God? Let's not be rigid. Because all the things we are rigid about, most times, is the permutation of man. Let God take control. Let God take control. Even the dream God gave, lay it down as a seed, because resurrection belongs to him. So, don't hold the dream. Hold to a resurrected life. Let there be an attitude of surrender. Let there be an attitude of surrender. Let's round up our prayers. In Jesus' name. Let's put one hand on our chest, raise one hand to God. Say, Heavenly Father, unto you, my blessed Savior, I surrender all, spirit, soul, and body. Direct me, instruct me, lead me in the way that I should go. Guide me by your spirit. Guide me by your agape love. I know nothing. I am little, but you are great. You are all. I lay it all down. Let it be a seed that will receive your resurrected power so that I can live a resurrected life in this land of living. To the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Rababa shakata kabrababa sante, mate kere deke koprono sapa braba shagada, bababa koto soko prebo sapam brono skate kere des. Rege de beka kebebo sagan de krege de bebeka. Gadi koriba sakito gorobaka shente. Ziliba sake. Baburuskata babaribe. Rege de beke sukurkuto samba. Badikiru. Rebe sente kere de keke bodrun graga de sede. Rike to sokupru shatala. Renikite. Grusoska barikato sendele. Marakata kaka shakata. Gende, gede, gede kirukusapa. Mengraga dozeski. Zerebeki. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap.